This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, wa usalli wa usallimu ala al-mab'uthi rahmatan al-alameen. Ba'athahu Allah shahidan wa mubashiran wa nadhira. I'm not going to give a talk. I'm going to share something that just happened right now. Me and Brother Rahim, right? We went to, what you call it? The dock. Docklands? Docks. Where the ship comes from the Isle of Wight, I think. That's what they call it, right? And subhanAllah, Brother Rahim, he wanted me to record a video just encouraging the people here in Southampton to facilitate programs and so on and so forth. Right? Just like, you know, Nazir Rahma facilitates programs. And I was giving a reminder about LGBTQ. Right? And let me just make something very, very clear. I'm not here to incite violence, right, towards anyone. If they are entitled to their views, I should be entitled to the views of the Quran, right? And the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And I, as a Butaymiyyah, I don't have my own views and opinions. I just quote what is in the scripture. So the point that I was making in this video that we were recording was that you have the LGBTQ community, right, who are very, very loud, right? Am I wrong to say that? Extremely loud, even though they are a minority compared to everyone else, sah? They're like a raindrop in the sea compared to everyone else, right? Why is it that they come across as the majority, my brothers and my sisters, even though they are a minority? Cave, I'll tell you guys. Because each one of their members is playing an active role in standing up for what they believe and call to. Am I wrong to say that? Huh? Am I wrong to say that, guys? They're very, very active. We just came out of Pride Month, sahih? They're proud. They'll upload videos, they'll upload pictures, one identifying as a cat, the other identifying as someone else, or a dog, right? And the guy who was taking him, who he identifies as a dog, right? But he's been taken. So as we were recording this video, my brothers and my sisters, and wallahi, I honestly, when I woke up this morning, I was not expecting this. Over there, I need to be careful which pronouns I use, huh? There were two ladies there. I think that was the case. Two ladies. And I'm being serious, my brothers and my sisters, right? And one of them was wearing a hijab. So as soon as I started speaking about LGBTQ, I noticed that the one who was wearing hijab went to the other lady and she kissed her. Right? As I finished recording the video, I could see she wanted to confront me about what I said in the video, and she goes, I felt what you're saying is disgusting and, you know, this and this and this and that. And I think Brother Rahim said to her, do you know who he is? She goes, yes, I attended his lecture when I came to Southampton University. And she was sitting in the back and apparently I said something that she didn't like. So I said to her, can we maybe discuss it? She goes, look, I'm a gay Muslim, right? And this is my partner. And this is me paraphrasing the conversation that took place, right? And she's wearing hijab. She's wearing hijab. And she's with her partner. She said, I'm engaged to her. And in a nutshell, she was basically saying that being gay and being Muslim are two things that can go hand in hand with one another. And I don't agree with your perspective and whatever have you. And there was other things that were discussed. This is me just summarizing. So I said to him, can we have a discussion? Can we speak about it? She was like, yeah. I was like, you're making all of these claims. However, are you someone that's educated about Islam? She said she looked into it and whatever have you. I was like, look, I'm an Islamic cleric, right? I can give you an insight as to whether Islam and being gay can go hand in hand with one another. Right? She goes, I know you guys might say that you have the story of Lot, you know, sodomy and so on and so forth that is mentioned in the Quran. She says, I believe that this story is speaking about incest. I believe this story is speaking about incest and rape. So, what that basically means is that if it's done consensually, Islam doesn't have an issue with it. How do you respond back to that, guys?
What's the delusion?
This is a doubt. Wallahi al-azim, oh parents, please listen up to what I'm about to say. This same argument, I heard it on TikTok. By the way, I'm not on TikTok. You guys know that. But a video was sent to me. I believe it was either a German or a French imam who identifies as someone who is a gay imam, was giving this fatwa when asked by a transgender. It is a man who has changed himself to a woman, right? Now identifies as a transgender. Has a different pronoun now. This man now, who is a man, and then now is wearing a female costume, my brothers and my sisters. He's got this big, I don't know, wig. And is dressing up like a lady. Is asking the imam and is being recorded. Wallahi al-azim, my parents that are here, right? And who are going to be listening to it online, justifying how these verses are not speaking about same-sex interactions. It's speaking about rape. And it had, from what I remember, millions of views. It had millions of views. This is a serious matter now. Who tends to be normally surfing TikTok, my brothers and my sisters? Young people. Have you guys heard of that figure on TikTok called Jeff Marsh? I sent him. What is he trying to do? Who is he trying to brainwash? Children. And he calls it going non-contact. There's a new term now. It is called, there are some children that want to go non-contact. That's what he calls it, right? Non-contact, right? And this, right, is a transgender. Puts on female costumes, right? And he's doing all of these, uswawalaha, huh? Uswawalaha, that's what they say in Somali, right? Huh? Behaving like, and whatever have you. And he keeps saying to the children, your parents this. Looking to indoctrinate young children. And then he invites them to these private rooms. Are you brothers and sisters with me? Invites them to these private rooms. Just to capture their mind, to pollute their brains. This is what is happening, while at the same time we have some of our brothers, who are busying themselves with secondary issues. Right? Or the masajid are maybe what? Being very political in how they move and so on and so forth. Over matters are trivial. This is what is happening on the internet. Wake up, ya jama'ah. Oh, brothers and sisters. Anyways, going back to the discussion I was having with the sisters, because this is now a shubha. Right? This is now a shubha. It's a doubt. That will what? Pierce and penetrate through your heart. Was it really rape? As mentioned in the Quran? Right? Or was also that which is consensual that used to take place? Right? Yes, there was the aspect of them forcing themselves onto the guests of Lot alayhi salatu wasalam. However, Allah Azza wa Jalla tells us something else. وَتَأْتُونَ فِي نَادِيكُمُ الْمُنْكَرُ They used to go to their clubs that they used to have at that time, and they would carry out, and Allah Azza wa Jalla referred to it as a munkar. Right? Even Lut alayhi salatu wasalam would say to them, مَا سَبَقَكُمْ بِهَا مِنْ أَحَدٍ مِنَ الْعَالَمِينَ No one preceded you in this from the time of Adam and Eve. By the way, not Adam and Steve, huh? Adam and Eve it was. No one preceded you in this. Right? First time is now actually happening. From the time of Adam all the way to Lot, it was never practiced. So how could it actually, according to the script, be considered normal? Again, I'm just quoting. Are you brothers and sisters with me? I said to the sister, where can a man look at another man's private part, consensually speaking? When you think about it, even just from a logical perspective, I was like, let's just say it's allowed, طيب. Right? You're saying that according to the, or whatever doubt that you have, it's actually allowed. Is there any time, right? Of course, exempting halat al-darura, you know, the doctor having to operate maybe on someone's private part, or there's an issue and then the doctor is only allowed to uncover that which is going to cover the need, right? If there is a problem, let's just say on your backside, he needs to inject you with something. Does that mean he can also see the front, the doctor? Like, this is now a necessity, right? It's a necessity of him injecting or doing some tests and checkup on your backside, for example. And it happens. Am I wrong to say that? We went to the doctors and there may have been times they needed to inject something. The Sharia says he can only uncover, right? الضرورات تقدر بقدرها. Only uncover the part that needs to be treated. Does that make sense, guys? You can't say, just because now he needs to do tests on my buttocks, for example, I can now what? Uncover the front. Is that allowed? Islamically speaking? No. Only that which is going to cover the necessity. So I said that to her. Where can a man now look at another man's private part and a woman looking at another woman's private part? When can they ever uncover the aura? Is there any case like that whatsoever for you now to say to me that this can be done consensually? Silence. Right? And then I could see that she was really listening to what I was saying, and credit to her. Right? I said to her, I deal with people who are gay, who call me. Right? They have these homosexual tendencies. Right? And I show them a lot of compassion and empathy. Some of them have these tendencies. They say, look, I have these tendencies. I am attracted to same sex. I've even got a video on my YouTube channel. I think it was 5 pieces of advice that I gave them. Just like, you know, a man has tendencies, or should I say, he has these temptations now to do a zina. Should we bash him just because he has these urges now? Should we bash him, guys? Should we treat him badly? No, we tell him, lower your gaze, fast, and do this and do that. And other steps that we tell him now in order to diffuse that intensified lust and desire to commit haram. Right? The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam even said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَجَاوَزَ عَنْ أُمَّتِي مَا حَدَّثَتْ بِأَنفُسَهَا مَا لَمْ يَقُلَهُ يَعْمَلُ. Allah has pardoned. And yesterday we touched on it, right? 5 levels of intent. Number one is what? Who remembers? Huh? Huh? Na'am, the passing thought. Number two, which is called hajj. Huh? Number two, what's number two? Idea. The idea, ahsantum. You guys were paying attention yesterday. That passing thought, or that occurring thought, now turns into an idea, which is known as what? Khatir. Number three. Huh?
Desire.
No, there's one before that.
Doing it.
Huh? Doing it. No, doing it is number 5. Hadith al-Nafs, where you begin to speak to yourself about it. Right? And number 4 is what?
Desire.
Al-Hamm. Right? وَلَقَدْ هَمَّتْ بِهِ وَهَمَّ بِهِ. And then we spoke about it, right? And number 5 is what?
Doing it.
Strong determination now to go and carry that out. Which then leads to him just carrying out that sin. Does that make sense, guys? The first four levels of intent. Is it pardoned?
Yes.
It is pardoned. Number 5, you are held to account, sah? And we mentioned the hadith of 2 Muslims that square up to one another, and the lines of poetry, مَرَاتِبُ الْقَصْدِ خَمْسٌ هَاجِسٌ ذَكَرُ up until now. Are you brothers and sisters with me? So having these homosexual urges is not a sin, according to the Sharia, according to our deen. But when acted upon, that's when it becomes, according to the deen, a sin. Right? So it's very simple, responding to this doubt. Where in the Sharia is one now allowed to look at another person's private part? Is that allowed in any way, shape or form? Let alone saying that it's okay to carry out these practices, right? consensually. وهذا بالإجماع. Right? Unanimously agreed upon, you are not allowed to look another. So how can you ever tell me that it can be done consensually, or these verses are only speaking about rape and incest and whatever have you? Right? And she was alluding to, right, how, akhi, Islam doesn't stop you from having, you know, just loving one another. Let me also touch on this argument of love is love. Let me ask you guys a question. What do you guys think of one having a relationship with their sister? Is that right? A man wants to have a relationship with their sister. I apologize to the parents if they feel that I may be going overboard here. They, right, are being brainwashed in our schools. It's being shoved down their throats and rubbed on their faces. Is it okay for a man now to have a relationship with his sister? Right? Look at how some of our children here are reacting. This was the same reaction 50, 60 years ago. About same-sex relationships. Huh? In school, they would call each other G-A-Y, صح? Anyone who started was wala 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 khayo. You know, if he started behaving a certain way. Or if he didn't have a relationship with a woman, they would what? Ah, your G-A-Y. That's what they would call him. You think you can say that now? I'm just quoting what used to happen, صح? Butamia does not have his own views and opinions. Are you brothers and sisters with me? Right? What's the issue now? A man having a relationship with his sister, ishan mushkila. What's the problem, guys? This isn't it the same argument? Love is love. Love is love. صح? So let me ask you guys another question. A man having a relationship with his mother, ishan mushkila. Look at the way you're reacting. But love is love, guys. Right? Love is love. The fruits of liberalism. Live and let be and do as you wish. Exercise your freedoms. Huh? Exercise your freedoms. صح? This is what I say. Everyone should be entitled to do as they wish. Let me ask you guys a question. A man having a relationship with an animal. Guys, is that far-fetched? You got kids identifying as cats. Piers Morgan sarcastically came out the other day on Twitter and he wrote, from today I'm going to identify as a cat. Shul mushkila. The whole world's turning upside down, my brothers and my sisters. One rule for one, another rule for another. صح? It's okay, same-sex marriages or same-sex relationships, but when one now wants to have a relationship with his sister, it's a problem. But what? Love is love. Sahih? Love is love. Okay, let me ask you guys a question. Who determines what is morally acceptable and what is not morally acceptable? Because when you ask Suzanne, right, and then you go to Mark, they're going to give you what? Conflicting information of what is morally acceptable and what is not. Eating other human beings, is it morally acceptable? Did you know that up until this very day, there are some places around the world where you can eat another human being and it's fine morally speaking? Did you guys know that? You got Putin who's killing, right? Sorry, Sheikh, yeah? We're going to start your Q&A. I think this is very important. You got Putin who's killing Ukrainians. You guys know Vladimir Putin? He's killing them, right? Ukrainians, they think that this is morally unacceptable alongside the West. The West, they see that this is wrong. But who's right and who's wrong? Who determines for us what is right and what is wrong? These are some unanswered questions when you look into liberalism and you try to make sense of it. Live and let be. Who determines for us that which is correct and that which is not? I'm going to share this story with you guys. I was on my way to Australia and it was via India. Via India. You guys know where India is? One of the worst airports you could go to. I was there on transit. So as I'm waiting around, I met a guy. We're going to refer to him as Mark. Me and Mark started speaking. It was like a good opportunity to have a da'wah discussion. I said to Mark, why are you going all the way to Australia by yourself? Because it's a 20-hour trip. I know where I am going, right? Why are you going? He said, I split up with my girlfriend, right? So I'm going by myself. We already booked the tickets. I split up from her. So I started getting a little bit nosy. I asked him, why did you split up? Huh? He said, I caught her having inappropriate conversations with other men via text message. She's basically cheating on him. And also, I didn't like how she would dress outside. I was like, oh. Right? You didn't like it, huh? So me playing devil's advocate, I said to him, Akhi, but what's the problem, Mark? Right? Ash al mushkila. Live and let be. Stop being so controlling, Mark. That's how they talk, sah? He goes, no, man, I find it inappropriate. I don't like it. I said to him, right, if you were to marry a Muslim lady that's adhering to Allah's rules and regulations, you would never have this problem. His jaw dropped. Right? I thought maybe he would have taken his shahada just to get married. There and then. Are you brothers and sisters with me? So I said to him, what are the chances that this is not going to happen next time round? Because this might exactly happen next time round, right? This is how some of us Muslims want to live our lives. Live and let be, let everyone go and do as they wish. Right? We even say to our daughters, no, you're free to go and do as you wish. Or someone butts in and says, no, she doesn't need to wear hijab. Tayyib, let her go and walk outside naked then. What's the difference? Or what's the problem now? They use the, right, the argument of live and let be, you don't need to impose upon a hijab. Tayyib, let her go outside and not wear any clothes. What would the problem be, guys? What would the problem be? Liberal values, live and let be, the Statue of Liberty, exercise your freedoms. Where do you draw the line? That's my point. Right? He goes, I'm going to find new love, maybe in Australia. Then what are the chances that you're going to suffer heartbreak again, ya Mark? Because the exact same thing might end up happening, sah? He goes, no, hopefully it won't happen. I said to him, Mark, there's a big chance that it might happen again. Because everyone looks at morality their own way. Everyone has their own lens that they look through. Sah? When you think about it. Even today when I arbitrate between husband and wife, I go to the meeting and I'm trying to solve their problems. She's accusing him of doing certain things, right? And he's accusing her. Then what is he accusing her of? Because I don't like the way she dresses outside and she wears this on her face and she goes outside with red lipstick and whatever have you. I don't feel comfortable with it. She said, oh, you're being over the top. You're being controlling. These are Muslims. Then she's criticizing him for speaking to other women. I asked him, why are you doing that? He goes, oh, they're just friends. Huh? They're just friends. Can men and women just be friends, guys? Ask Steve Harvey. Huh? A non-Muslim guy who was asked this question, or he was speaking about it. He goes, us men were just waiting for a crack in the door to creep in. But again, guys, how do we solve this problem between this Muslim husband and his Muslim wife? And this is what I said to Mark when we were in India, right? If you want to be at peace, you need to find Allah, an external entity, right? An external entity above all that is divine, who gives us rules and regulations to live by. And each one needs to live by that, otherwise there will continue to be chaos, the chaos that we are seeing today. Right? Everyone looks at the world their own way. Everyone has their own worldview. You speak to atheists as well, they've got this issue. Mark says this is morally acceptable, right? Suzanne says something else. Then who do we go with? We need Allah. We need an external, divine, right, entity, and that is Allah's law, that is above everyone. Telling us how to abide, right, and structure our lives. Right? Even she tried to use this qa'idah, and this is when qawa'id al-fiqhiyya came in extremely handy, legal maxims. She said, isn't everything permissible until proven otherwise? Huh? Everything is permissible until proven otherwise. First, I said to her, let's not mix two things together. Right? Yes. You can do everything until proven otherwise. When it comes to your norms and your traditions, right? And your customary practices. Islam didn't come to abolish customary traditional practices. It's not against tradition like that. Only if it goes against the Sharia. Right? Wallahi, I began to appreciate knowledge in this discussion. The poet, he says, وَالْأَصْلُ فِي عَادَاتِنَا الْإِبَاحَةِ حَتَّى يَجِيَ صَارِفُ الْإِبَاحَةِ The asal, the base origin, when it comes to our norms and our traditional customary practices, is that it is permissible until proven otherwise. What is this proven otherwise? until you find a dalil that says haram. That's like, yeah, sister, haram is there. It's mentioned in the Quran. Right? It's mentioned there. And likewise, when it comes to our religion, you can't do anything in light of the religion. It is haram until proven otherwise. So if you want to now say that this is Islamic, give me a proof. I'll say that again, guys. The base origin, when it comes to our deen, it is haram. You can't do anything under the religion until you have what? An evidence. Let me ask you guys a question. Every time I go into the toilet, I'm going to read Ayatul Kursi. Can I do that? Why not? Because it's haram for you to do something under religion until you have an evidence. Do I have an evidence that you read Ayatul Kursi, Allahu la ilaha illa huwa, before I go into the toilet? Do we have that? You don't. But you say, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-khubthi aw khubuthi. There's two ways of saying it. Wal-khaba'ith. Because we have an evidence. Oh, now that we have an evidence, we do it. That's our religion. So if you, my sister, are trying to say that this is what? Halal, or this part of our religion, prove to me that it's what? Part of the religion. Does that make sense? Right? Also, I'm going to end with this very important point. Recently, I've been going through 10 concepts that compromise your tawheed. I think number 5 was saying that homosexual practices are permissible. Let me ask you guys a question, right? Because of course we had Humza Yusuf, the new Scottish Prime Minister, come out openly and say that there's nothing wrong with it. Huh? So the next generation guys, are going to look at this brown guy. Because a brown guy is saying it, then there must be some substance to it. It must be okay. You know the difference between this generation and next generation is what? We see, my brothers and my sisters, a transition. Pay attention, my young friends and brothers who are here. We seen a transition. What is this transition? Before and after. Before and after. What happened before? Did we always see this colorful world, guys? Some of you guys might be young. But us elders, we saw that once upon a time, this was unacceptable by society. It was morally unacceptable, sah? And then it started being beautified, popularized, and normalized, sahih? We witnessed that. The next generation, are they going to see this? Or all they're going to see is in their schools, right? How popularized and normalized these things are. Because it's being shoved down their throats and rubbed on their faces. That's all they see, it being perfectly fine. Right? And I'm terrified. Let me ask you guys a question. Which one is worse according to your Sharia? Carrying out that practice or not carrying out but thinking that this is what? Lawful and halal, permissible. Which one is worse? First or the second? Put your hand on your fingers the first. Put your hand on your fingers the second. MashaAllah, in Southampton, they're good. Huh? Why? Right? I speak to people, they call me, and they say, they've carried out the homosexual practice, please help me. They know, according to these individuals, they say that this is wrong. My heart is burning, I feel empty. They know that this is what? Wrong. And that's a major sin. It doesn't take you out of the fold of Islam. Are you guys with me? It doesn't take you out of the fold of Islam. However, someone might not be practicing it, but he says halal. When Allah Azza wa Jalla in the Quran called it what? Innakum lata'tun al-fahisha. You carry out this immoral, abhorrent practice. I never said it, the Quran did. And we just quote the scripture. So now, they might end up making halal, what is? Haram. And that takes you out of the fold of Islam. This is called what? Istihlal. Making something that is haram, halal. Zina, does it take you out of the religion, guys? Who said yes? لا تكن تكفيريا. Huh? Don't do takfir based on major sins. It doesn't take you out of the fold of Islam. Huh? It's a major sin. Are you guys with me? It's a major sin. now saying that zina is halal. Which one's worse? First or the second? Second. وَلْيُبَلِّغُ الشَّاهِدُ الْغَائِبَ. Make sure you convey this to my brothers and my sisters according to the scripture. And as long as we quote our sharia, inshallah ta'ala, nothing will happen. Am I underground? Am I chained up, guys? Am I in prison? I was in contact with solicitors and lawyers before I started speaking about it. And we always put these disclaimers at the beginning of the videos on YouTube. That's why not a single video has been taken down. You guys with me? I hope that makes sense. I do apologize to the Sheikh. Honestly, when I woke up this morning, this is not something that I had on the bucket list. This was going to happen. I think it was Saeed's idea for him to take me, huh? It was your idea. Right? You know what's so ajeeb? We went to some brothers, they were in the cage playing football. I was like, can we do 3-on-3? I felt like humiliating someone on the football pitch and not making him. Right? I said, can we play? They said no. They rejected us. The kids that were playing there. So we walked away disappointed. Huh? They went to the grass and subhanAllah, it's like Allah took us there. And then we ended up witnessing and having that discussion. And I sent her, I told her, please just watch these videos. And I explained to her that it's not just Islam that has an issue with this. Likewise, Christianity, that is Orthodox. Also, I told her that I came across an article where 200 Torah Jews, alongside medical experts, they all aligned with one another to sign off that this is what? Abhorrent. I'm just quoting the Torah Jews. Abu Taymiyyah doesn't have his own views and opinions. So I said that this is not just something that is specific to Muslims, right? And I told her to watch the video. She gave me her phone, I put it in there and I gave it back. Right? If you get a chance, my brothers and my sisters, watch this video. It's on my channel. It is called The Hidden LGBTQ and Pedophile Files. It took me a lot of time now to gather all that information. Right? It was what? Solely academic. I just read out medical experts, what other religions have to say, and so on and so forth. I forgot something, my brothers and my sisters, that I wanted to mention, right? There's even a narration that has been attributed to Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, and likewise Al-Walid ibn Abd al-Malik, Al-Walid ibn Abd al-Malik, who was one of the caliphates, the Umayyans, right? He says, لَوْلَا أَنَّ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلْ قَصَّ عَلَيْنَا خَبَرَ قَوْمِ لُوطٍ مَا ظَنَنْتُ أَنَّ ذَكَرًا يَعْلُ ذَكَرًا. Had Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not told us about the people of Lot, I would have never thought that a man would penetrate another man. I would never thought that. It was something that was unheard of.